Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself." While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. In a few moments' time, we will gather as we customarily do on the first Sunday of each month to remember the Lord's table and to observe communion together. This portion which I have read to you just now is actually 3 separate portions. Jesus, having been anointed, as we understood last week earlier in Matthew chapter 26, it's now evening time, and Jesus has all of his disciples gathered around him one last time. Judas also there. So we have, first of all, Jesus plainly stating that one of them was going to betray him. Jesus deeply grieved at this, and also the disciples equally deeply grieved. Then Jesus institutes for them, and what has been used countless times over the centuries, the simple meal by which Jesus would be remembered. Jesus, first of all, taking that ancient Passover ritual and infusing it with richer and deeper meaning than had ever been cited before, only through the eyes of faith, seeing that every Passover lamb that had ever been slain was specifically pointing ahead to the great Passover lamb, the Lamb of God of the Father's choosing. So we have the Lord's Supper instituted. And then the third instance here is Jesus speaking that all of them were going to fall away as they head towards the Mount of Olives. And as they are about to enter into that holy sanctum, that place called the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would sweat great drops of blood as he agonized before his heavenly Father, "If it be possible that this cup pass from me, let it be so. Yet not what I will, but thy will be done." Jesus goes there. He says all of them are going to fall away from him. Peter, ever the first one to speak up when others were silent, he boldly, confidently declares, "Even if all of these other scoundrels abandon you, I will stand at your side. I will be there." And Jesus says, knowing all of the details that Peter did not, Peter says, "This very night, even before a timid slave girl just sticking her little finger in your face, saying, 'Weren't you also with him?' you will scamper and hide and deny that you ever even knew me." Oh, Jesus, I'm sure it was with broken heart that he announced to the disciples exactly what would take place. Well, let's back up and consider once again with these three episodes or these three scenes coming before us in rapid succession. It was evening time. It was a time of people gathering in from the busyness of the day, and the streets were quieter than they had been up to this point. It was an intimate time. It was a time for them to settle their hearts. And Jesus, as he gathers with his disciples at the table, and they're eating together, Jesus, once again, having invested so much into these disciples, even as we have considered these past stories and accounts, great truths that Jesus has shared, still just a few more remnants of truth that he wanted to press in. Oh, he realized that their heads were about to burst. He realized that they had been just like Teflon. Things hadn't stuck very well. But Jesus, in love, wanted to push something, try to squeeze just a little bit more. The scriptures have been given, and the prophecies of the scriptures have been given, so that we would not be surprised by those things which come upon us. Jesus warned that troublesome times would come. We should not be surprised when they come. Here for these disciples, Jesus, as they were eating, he says, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Now there were only 12 sitting there with Jesus, men who Jesus himself, after a night of prayer, had called to himself. We read at other points in the Gospels of there being 70 disciples. There seemed to be, first of all, the 12, and even within the 12, there were three, James and John and Peter, who were especially close to Jesus. So there was the three, and there was the 12, and there was the 70 who Jesus sent out two by two. Well, and then, of course, there were the crowds. But Jesus, these ones he had especially invested in, especially he had called them to himself. They knew each other by name, and they knew each other's quirks and strange habits. They had traveled and lived side by side for this time. But they are deeply grieved, we read, at what Jesus had to say. They had perhaps remembered Jesus saying that he was going to be crucified, he was going to be betrayed, but surely that would come from someplace else. In none of the gospel accounts do we have all of the disciples en masse turning to Judas and saying, "See, we thought it was you all along." They are as puzzled as anyone that it was, in fact, Judas. He was the one who they had trusted. He was the one who held the bag. Each of them say, "Surely, surely not I, Lord. Surely such a thing would come from outside, one of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, those who we have encountered time and time again who have tried to make you stumble. Surely, surely it would be from them." But Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." And he narrows it down. He says, "He who has dipped his hand with me in the bowl." Well, I suspect that many of them had dipped their hand into the bowl at the very same time as Jesus had. And so I'm sure that their thoughts raced to think, "Is it me? Was my hand there in the bowl with Jesus? The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. Time and time again, Matthew, as he accounts the story of Jesus, he is at pains to give us the word as it was foretold by such and such a prophet, or as it is written. Should we lack confidence in the Old Testament? Should we lack confidence in the Word of God as the very Word of God? We put ourselves at a distance from these who have, through the Holy Spirit, given us the very Word of God. For they had no doubts themselves. Just as it is written of him, but woe, Jesus says, to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better, oh, far better, that he had not been born at all. Judas finally speaks up. Is it I? And Jesus says, you have said it yourself. Well, then, with the betrayer identified, other gospel accounts indicate how that Jesus says, what thou doest, do quickly, and Judas leaves at this point. But while they were eating, Jesus then, he institutes the Lord's Supper, and he takes to himself some bread. Now this was a customary pattern for the head of the household. Here, the head of this gathering of the disciples, Jesus, the great rabbi, the master, he takes some bread. And once again, even as he had blessed bread when it was going to be distributed to the thousands on the hillside, Jesus gives thanks to his heavenly Father for what he has given. Yes, even as Jesus was going straight to the cross, straight to receive the lash upon his back and the crowns on his head and the nails in his hands, he utters a blessing. He breaks it and he gives it. He gives it to his disciples with these words, take, eat, this is my body. I'm sure the disciples recoiled. Of course, the disciples knew very well through the Old Testament the specific laws of what they could or could not eat. And absolutely any form of cannibalism was utterly beyond the limits of the Jewish law. So for Jesus to say, take, eat, this is my body, it would have come across to those ears as a horrible thing. But then later on, he takes the cup. Once again, he gives thanks with all that was so close to come. Jesus gives thanks. And he gives this also to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. Now, once again, from the Old Testament, the Jews had been instructed so very specifically to drain all of the blood from the meat that they were to eat. There was very specific instructions and very specific ritual of how that was to take place to maximize the draining of the blood from the flesh. But here, Jesus, he speaks to them once again in words that are strange and would cause offense, you might expect. He says, this is my blood. This is, as it were, human blood. And it is of the covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Why do we observe communion? Why do we have a time in our service called the Lord's Supper? It is something that is instituted and directed very specifically by Jesus. As Paul accounts to us in 1 Corinthians, it is to be done in remembrance of me, Jesus speaking. It underscores the love of God for a world that had gone utterly astray and could do nothing about it. It underscores how that sin pays heavy wages. We were receiving those wages in full. And the wages of sin is death. But Jesus came along and he says, I will take your wages. I will take the penalty of your sin. The Lord's table, as we come, we are reminded of the love of God shown in Jesus Christ coming to be the sin bearer for us all. But we are also reminded of that body broken under the lash, under the whip, under the cross. We are reminded of the blood that was freely poured out. The blood of the covenant. You see, it was God's promise to bring a redeemer, to bring a savior. Right from the Garden of Eden, God had given the promise that redemption would come. And so we have here the blood of the covenant, the blood of the promise that had been made, and it was poured out that there might be the forgiveness of sins. Very quickly, they draw that time to a conclusion. Jesus announces this is the last time that he would drink of the vine until he drinks it new in his Father's kingdom. They sing a hymn and they go out to the Mount of Olives. They cross over from the city of Jerusalem through the Kidron Valley with the stream that flowed red out of the temple. They cross that very red flowing stream, the blood of all the animals poured out in there. They cross over and they go to the Mount of Olives on the east, heading for the place where Jesus had often gathered in seclusion to pray. But Jesus here says, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the sheep down. I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Some would think that we come to Passover, or we come to the Lord's table to be strengthened, that we might have a greater resolve to resist the devil and to stand against him. Here we have an interesting illustration. The disciples had just been likely at the most meaningful communion time that has ever taken place in 2,000 years of Christian church history. Many times people have said to me, oh, that was a deeply meaningful communion service, and the Lord was so very, very near. And I appreciate that, and I have sensed times just like that myself. But think of it. Here we have these disciples gathered with Jesus. They could best any experience that we have ever had. Here Jesus was physically right before them. It wasn't a pastor or a church leader or a minister or a priest of any kind officiating. It was Jesus himself. To say that the Lord was near was obvious. He was right there, physically in the room with them. It was his voice that they were hearing. It was from his hands that they were receiving the bread and the cup. Yes, indeed, the Lord is near whenever we gather to remember him. We simply claim his promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But here most especially, Jesus was with them in a deeply meaningful way. But lest we think that this empowers us or suits us to be irresistible for foolishness and for sin, for wandering from the path, we need to look again. Jesus, he speaks to them of each and every one of them falling away from him. But he raises also hope in their hearts that after he has been raised, that he would go ahead of them into Galilee and that he would welcome them. Once again, Peter, even as we've heard before, he says, look, that's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, Jesus, I must contradict you this time again. Even though all of them fall away, I'm going to be there. Jesus says to him, no, Peter, actually not just once and not just twice, but actually three times, you will deny me. You will deny me plainly, openly, and eagerly. We come to the table of the Lord. We come to remember all that he has done. We come to remember the price of sin. We come to remember that Jesus knew that heavy price, but he went to the cross anyways. He was not duped into coming to this world. He was not tricked into going to the cross. He was not fooled by any of these things, as he has punctuated time and time again the text with words of warning of exactly why he was here. He was here to give himself as a ransom for the sins of many. So we come and we observe the Lord's table and we give thanks and we take the wafer and we say, thank you, Lord, that you gave. We did not love you. You loved us and you took the initiative. We did not give to you. You were the one who gave to us. You took the initiative. And you reach down to us, wallowing in the mire, unable to do anything for ourselves. And you picked us up. And you have cleansed us and you have forgiven us. And we give you thanks. We are going to gather at the table. But first, let us sing together hymn number 189. And we will use the first three verses, Calvary Covers It All. Would you stand together with me to sing 189?